Well, amen. Good to see y'all tonight. I don't know some of you. Got a lot of new faces, but a lot of you do know. And it's good to see everybody. I got to meet some, got to introduce myself to a few. So, good to see y'all tonight. We are having we're having a wonderful time in Corpus Christi. I mean that with all my heart. I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm not just saying that because I think that's what y'all want to hear. I mean it. We're having a wonderful time. The Lord has really blessed the ministry there. And I think one of the most amazing things is just the spirit of unity that everybody brings into the worship service. It's just amazing. Everybody brings it And boy, the singing, I'm telling you, every song we sing is just outstanding. Everybody's just you can just tell the joy that's there. You can tell the thrill and the excitement. And, of course, the devil's going to work against it. He doesn't want that to happen, so he's always there. He's always present, you know. He's always going to try to ruin the day or try to do something to discourage the saints and keep us from doing what God wants us to do. It's not a fast-growing work by any means, but it is growing, and slowly but surely. But I believe that, you know, it gives me kind of a complex because I always believe God gives it to you as he thinks you can handle it. So I guess he feels I can't handle very much, so he just gives it to us at a slow pace. But really, I'm fine with that. I've said over and over and over again, I'd rather have 10 that really love the Lord and want to do something than 100 that don't, really. And it's exciting. And, of course, getting folks out, knocking doors, doing the things of the ministry. It's hard. It is. The flesh always fights it. You know, our folks are no different than any other folks. It's a spiritual work, and the flesh always fights it. So, you know, we push soul winning, and we'll have a good group come out, and 2 or 3 weeks later, something came up. You know how it is. And so that's just the way it is. It's up and down, but we look back. The way I measure our church growth is by our lows. I always have. Not by our highs, because we can have a high day. Anybody can have a high day. But we keep looking back, and we see that our lows keep getting higher. And when your lows keep getting higher, you know that you're making a consistent growth. And it's not all about growth. It's more about spiritual growth. But obviously, we want to see more folks get saved, more folks get involved in the work of the Lord, and watch God work in their life as well. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tonight, I want to go ahead and jump right into it because we are on a real tight time frame tonight. But I got to put this watch. I don't carry a watch. Now that I got a cell phone, I don't carry a watch anymore. I don't even wear one. And you don't have one back there. And my phone is dead. And my wife's got a new phone. I don't even know how to operate it. So I have Pastor's watch. That's why he didn't have one. So I've got his sitting right here. So I'm going to sit here and make sure that we get finished on time. Preacher said I could take as long as I want to, but about a certain amount of time, kids are going to start coming in. So we don't want that. So we'll go ahead and get started. What I do want to say is this. You know, it's call it an introduction, whatever you want to. I want to mention the fact that, the Lord has really taught me a lot of things over the years, but really particularly in this particular church, in this church plant, to see God work. You see, we've had to come into Corpus Christi, which many of you probably know, and if you don't know, let me share with you, it is a very strong influence of Catholic. It's Catholic country. I mean, it really is. It's not a denomination, it is a culture. Now, I'm not trying to hide behind that, I'm just telling you, it makes it a little tougher. And because of that, I've had to go in and kind of unlearn some things. And I'm going to shamefacedly admit to you that over the years, I have at times I've trusted in and I've had confidence in my ability to actually go in and present the gospel in a persuading manner and actually lead people to Christ. I have done that. And I say shamefacedly because sometimes in doing so, I inoculated people to the gospel probably as much as I have led people to Christ. And I say that shamefacedly. Fortunately, the Lord helped me see the error of that, and we trust more in the Holy Spirit than we do our own flesh. But I'm telling you, it's not uncommon for somebody to want to trust in their flesh or just to act in the flesh once you actually know that, once you actually know the Romans Road, or once you Once you have been in the ministry for a while, or you've been a soul winner for a while, you know how to win somebody to the Lord, you know the steps to take, and it's easy to do it in the power of the flesh. It really is. And since I've gone to Corpus Christi, I have realized that, yes, we can still do some things in the power of the flesh, and God will let you if you don't, you know, if you insist on doing it that way, God will let you. But I found something out. Much doesn't get done in the power of the flesh. I've had to unlearn some things, and I've had to learn to trust in the Lord and realize that it's God working in their lives, and it's a whole lot more God working in their lives, and it's God working in that church. It's God moving in that church. It's God the one that's growing that church more than James Stone. And one of the things, two things that happened just recently that I'll share with you that helped me to realize this. One was our winter revival. The other was our summer revival. And then, of course, we just had our missions conference, and I was blown away by what the folks did. I mean, we just have a handful of folks, you know, 50. We have around 50 people right now, and they all committed to about $30,000 for our first missions conference. I'm so excited. I was just thrilled about that. And so I added it all up. If 100% of it comes in, that means we should be able to support about 24 missionaries somewhere in there. And we're at 12 right now, but anyway, that was the Lord too, because I didn't think we'd do that. But anyway, the first winter revival that we had, I invited a brother who was very uneducated, and in fact, this man didn't even learn how to read until he was an adult. And when he got up to read the Bible, and when he began to speak, it was extremely evident that he had no concept of proper grammar. But I loved him. I asked him to come knowing that that's exactly how he preached. And I told our people, I said, I want y'all to look past that. I'm warning you now. He's not going to cross his T's. He's not going to dot his I's. In fact, sometimes he didn't know whether he seen it or saw it. And sometimes he even seed it. And sometimes he might have heard it, but other times he might have heard it. And there was a whole lot of things you had to look past. I'm serious. And if you're like me, I'm a grammar nut. You may not get that as I preach, but I hate bad grammar. But I knew he was like that. I knew he had that handicap, if you want to call it that, but I asked him to come preach anyway, and here's the reason why. Because the Spirit of God was all over that man. And he preached, and he butchered the King's English, but I'm telling you, he lit a fire in us to reach people and to pass out tracts and to give the gospel out and to make a difference in people's lives. It was just amazing. And I knew right then we saw a demonstration of the Spirit of God. And then our summer revival came, and everything was working against it. Number one, I scheduled it right back-to-back to our missions conference. And I thought, oh, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, why did I do that? And I almost canceled it. I told my wife, I'm going to cancel this, it's too close, and our folks aren't going to want to come. You know, we're just a month, and we just did our missions conference, and now I'm going to ask people to come back for another week and do this. Man, it's wrong. Why would I do that? Why could I? Well, you know what happened. I said, no, okay, I'll go ahead and do it. Well, we had Brother Jesse Butcher from North Carolina. And, boy, I'll tell you what, the whole package, the singing, the preaching, the spirit, this just everything worked together, and God used that in our folks' life. And we're still walking on that revival. We're still moving in the spirit of what God did through that man. He wasn't a dynamic preacher. I've seen a whole lot more dynamic preachers. I've met preachers that could, you know, peel the paint off the wall. I've seen some that, you know, they could preach about the brook of Kidron and you can hear it trickle over the brooks. I've heard preachers talk about the kiss of Judas on the face of Jesus and you can actually feel the lips on his cheek. But not this man. He didn't preach like that. But I'm telling you, God used him in a tremendous way. Tremendous way. We even extended it a night. I've never done that. It was amazing. And the last night, people looked at me at the last night. I said, we're going to extend this one more night. And their eyes got big. Not that they said, I can't believe you're doing that. But really, it was in amazement that it happened. but also in approval. And I knew, I said, boy, this is great. And then the next night, we did it, and it was absolutely the best night. We probably should have gone another night, but we did it for one more night, and it was just wonderful. What I'm saying is this, God showed up. It wasn't James Stone. It really wasn't Jesse Butcher. Jesse Butcher did not bring revival in a hip pocket. No, he brought the Holy Spirit. He brought the right spirit. And God showed up. Let me show you something in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. As a pastor, that is something that I have striven for over 23 years. To preach and to lead and to pastor in such a way that the people of God, the people that God has seen fit to put in my care would grow and mature in Christ as a result of the Holy Spirit conviction and Holy Spirit power. Not to grow a church on the personality of the pastor, but the demonstration of the Spirit. And as a Christian, I want to live and operate not in the wisdom of man being swayed by excellency of speech, but in the demonstration and the power of God. You know, we can talk about men and preachers of the past and present who have done amazing and tremendously wonderful things for God. And we have a tendency, if we're not careful, we have a tendency to elevate them to a level that is larger than life. But I want you to understand tonight that we should not think that that kind of usefulness is unattainable for us, for you, who may not be called to pastor, or may not be called to teach a class, or may not be in full-time ministry, but as a child of God, you have the opportunity, you have the ability to be used in demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God as well. Your faith ought to live in the Spirit of God, in the power of the Spirit of God, and not in the wisdom of men. So if we truly desire to have our faith stand in the power of God, rather than in the wisdom of men, then here's exactly what needs to happen. Look, it's just what I've learned. I've got to back out and quit trying to do what James Stone schedules. I'm all for scheduling. I'm all for planning because my wife makes me. And so y'all got that, right? But here's what I'm saying. Listen, brethren, we've got to come out of that box, really take God out of that box, and let the Lord be the one to use us. Let God be the one to grow the church. And we can know the power of God. We can know it in our own life. We can know it in the church. We can know it in our families. And so I thought about it, and I realized that if we truly have the desire to have our faith stand in the power of God rather than in the wisdom of men, then there's really only one way for that to happen. And that is to attempt to live in such a way that would render our own efforts useless or vain. In other words, we must live or attempt to live in a way that can only be done in the power of God. Does that make sense? I mean, there are things that we're going to do just because of muscle memory, just because of it's our daily routine of life. But brethren, if we want the power, look, we can't call getting up, eating breakfast, I did that in the power of God. God enabled me. Yes, we know God gave you breath in the morning. Yes, we know that God gave us strength to get up in the morning and go in there. And you know, but God didn't write in heaven, pick out Raisin Bran today. I want you to pour a half a bowl, use 2% milk. Now, God didn't do that. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious. I'm just trying to tell you, we can't say, well, I lived in the power of God, if we didn't do anything that didn't require the power of God. You see what I'm saying? And so let me give you just a couple of things. I've got about 12 minutes, and I'm going to try to nail about 5 things down that I believe that if we'll do these, we can absolutely, without a doubt, we can say, I have lived in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. And not in the power of the flesh. Number one, reach souls. Reach souls. I mean, you knew that had to be first. Reach souls. So let me read some verses for you. I've got them all written down. You can run with me if you want to, or I'll give you this outline if you like it afterwards. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Acts chapter 4 verse 33, "With great power the apostles gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Acts chapter 6 verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Romans chapter 1 verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." 1 Corinthians 1 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." Reaching souls. You and I cannot save a soul. There's nothing you can do to save a soul. You can't climb down inside that person's heart and change it. There's nothing you can't convict a heart. You can't save a soul. There's nothing you can do except present the gospel. Amen. How many would say amen to that? Brother, when you reach somebody with Christ, when you preach the gospel, you are acting in demonstration and power of the Spirit of God. That's not you. Boy, that's encouraging to know that I can get involved in the work of God with the power of God when I present the gospel. That's it. Just reaching souls. That's it. I want the power of God upon me. Look, you can go out here on, you know how it is on a Saturday or Tuesday or Thursday whenever we go soul winning. You know, this is how we do it. All right, I'm here, preacher. I'm here. I know. I'm not condemning. I haven't always been behind the pulpit. And sometimes I do it when I am behind the pulpit. Amen. But you know what? I may have come begrudgingly, but I never left begrudgingly. Amen. Every single time, I tell you what, duty sometimes takes over. And it gets me to where I'm supposed to be on Saturday or on Tuesday or on Thursday. But I'm here to tell you, you go out those doors and you start talking to a lost world about their soul and showing them that there's a bomb in Gilead, showing them that there's a Savior that loves them, a Savior who cares, and watch God change a life. Watch Him turn a house into a home. Watch Him take a broken family and mend it and make something out of it. And you'll walk out of there saying, "Man, I'm glad I came soul winning tonight. I couldn't have done that. That was only the power of God." Amen. You can't do that on your own. You cannot do that. But just to have a small part in the power of God, in the work of God, you've done that in the power of God. And so I learned something. I tell our folks, and hey, we're no different. They drag themselves in too. But man, when it's all done, it's ping, ping, ping. They're like ricochet rabbits. I always try to tell them, whenever we can, let's meet back at the church after soul winning so that we can have testimony time. Man, that's a fun time. Because when we go out, it's kind of quiet. I'm giving out the maps and a small charge, and then we go out. And boy, when we come back, everybody wants to talk. Oh, it's awesome. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Reaching souls. We want to live in the power of God. We want to live and demonstrate. We want our faith to stand in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men. Reach souls. Number two, resist Satan. Resist Satan. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want to ask you a question. If you don't get up in the morning and pray, if you just leave off prayer, if you leave off the Word of God for a day, 2 days, 3 days, a week, do you think you're still going to be as spiritually strong as if you didn't leave it off? No, absolutely not. In fact, when we leave off those things, we not only are susceptible to sin, we pursue it. But if we're going to resist Satan, it's going to take all the power that I have in my flesh and the power of the Spirit of God in me to resist Satan, because I am flesh and blood. I am the son of Adam. I hate that, but I am. There are a couple of songs I was telling my wife the other day. There's a couple of songs, and maybe I missed the truth of it, but there's one that says, "Now I've got royal blood." He was talking about being saved, and he said, "Now I've got royal blood flowing through my veins." Well, the fact is, I understand what he's saying, but he really don't. You don't have, we got tainted blood. Now, maybe symbolically you might have royal blood, but you know what? I still got the blood of Adam in me. I still got that old sin-tainted blood running in me. That old man didn't leave when the new man came in. He's still in there. And Satan, I found out, is outside the door every single day waiting on me. Sometimes he's hiding behind my wife. Sometimes he's hiding behind me. Sometimes he's right in between us. Amen. Sometimes he comes into the church on the shoulders of members. Sometimes he's there waiting on me. Sometimes the preacher brings him in. And the only way that we're going to resist Satan is in the power of God. The only way that we're going to resist the devil, the only way that we're going to resist him is in the power. I love this part where he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I can't do this on my own. I can't win these battles on my own. The devil is strong. He is strong. Don't underestimate his power. He knows you and he knows what buttons to push. And we can't win against him. We cannot win against him. Resist Satan in the power. I had a good friend of mine. A good friend of mine. His name was his name was Mark Henry, but growing up we called him Meatloaf. Y'all remember the singer Meatloaf? Remember that big old dude? That's why we called him that, because he was as big as him and he had a hat like his. Anyway, he was big. I was 16 years old, and this dude was huge. He was this big, and he was every bit of that, bro. He was 16 as well. He was huge. And he was my friend. He was my friend. Now, I didn't get saved as a young kid. I got saved when I was 20 years old. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And I'll tell you what, there were many times in those days when I was glad Meatloaf was my friend, because I was able to be strong in the power of Meatloaf. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all had a friend like that. Some of y'all were that friend. But I was just a little old skinny thing, believe it or not. I weighed 130 pounds soaking wet and full of bananas. I'm telling you. I was a skinny little old thing. And I didn't run around with the nicest crowd. And whenever trouble came up, I stood behind Meatloaf. I was strong in the power of Meatloaf. Well, you know what? I'm still a wimp when it comes to the devil. I can't beat him. I cannot beat him. If I don't meet with God and ask Him to strengthen me, I'm going to lose every time. You want to walk in the power of God. You want your life, you want your faith to stand in demonstration of the power of the Spirit this morning, this evening. Number one, reach souls. Number two, resist Satan. And then thirdly, let me give you this one, repudiate sin. Repudiate sin. Repudiate sin. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. You know what I believe the power of His resurrection is? Look, when I got saved, I got the power of His resurrection. The power of the resurrection is the ability to say no to sin. I couldn't say no before, but I can now. I mean, look, I was lost and undone, and I was a slave to that stuff. It's amazing to me how many people say, well, I'm a master of my own destiny. No, you're not. Look, when I got saved, I only changed masters. I was a servant to sin before I got saved. Now I'm a servant of righteousness after I got saved. I'm not a man of my own destiny. Never was, never will be. The Lord Jesus Christ saved me. And now that I'm saved, I have the ability, through the power of God, to repudiate sin. We ought to keep our sin list short, brethren. I'm telling you, we ought to call sin, sin. Call it what it is. Make it ugly. Paint it ugly in our homes. Make sin, sin. Quit calling it, you know, quit doctoring it up like the world's doing today. Let's don't fall into that trap. Let's don't fall into that. Let's repudiate it. And we can repudiate sin. It can be ugly to us. Look, the old man wants to sin. The old man wants to sin. He does. Don't tell me he doesn't. The old man loves it. Man, the flesh loves the pleasure. It's called the pleasure of sin for a reason. It's pleasurable. It's fun for a season. But brethren, you and I, we understand the end. You know what we did? We walked on the other side of that Dos Equis billboard, and we saw what was on the other side of that. They don't portray it on this side of the billboard, but we can look at the other side of that billboard, and we can see that family ruined because of a drunk driver. We can see that family ruined because a husband killed somebody in a car accident. We can see the other side of that billboard, how that a family is ruined because a father or a mother is given to alcohol. We can see that. We ought to repudiate sin, and we can in the power of the Spirit of God. Let me give you a fourth thought. Number four, we ought to, if we're gonna have the power of God upon us, and these are things that we can only do in the power of God. You can't do this in the flesh. The fourth one is this: rejoice in sorrows. Rejoice in sorrows. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You know, even Christians are guilty sometimes of closing that fist and raising it up and shaking it in the face of God. Why'd you do this to me? Why'd you allow this to happen to me? Rather than allowing those sorrows and those trials and those crises and those tragedies of life to strengthen them and reach out and glorify God. Man, I'm telling you, if you and I could learn through the Spirit of God to rejoice in sorrows, my, how God could be glorified. My, how people could be reached. My, how we could be strengthened. How we could grow phenomenally, exponentially. I think that we'll grow, I think that we would grow exponentially more through rejoicing in sorrows than any of the others. But let me give you one final thought. If we're going to have our faith stand in the power of God, one other thing, re-enlist for service. Re-enlist for service. 2 or 3 years into the 3-year-old class, I'm about ready to hang. That's not probably not bad. Middle school, I guess, where it starts getting rough. 5th grade, 6th grade. I'm hanging it up after this year. Preacher, you can have it. I'm done with it. Maybe it's been a rough year. But maybe you've come to the place where you said, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I think it's time to let somebody else do it, and I'm just going to kick back. You know, I don't have any words of wisdom for you. Let me read a couple of verses and I'm done. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 and 8. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Maybe you did get hurt. Maybe you have had a rough year. But re-enlist. Re-enlist. Romans 15, 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Abound. 1 Peter 1, 5 says, "We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." It is the power of God that not only keeps your salvation, but it keeps you rolling and growing for the Lord, serving the Lord. I've heard a preacher say one time, he said, when gray started coming to my hair, I decided right then I wasn't going to retire, I was going to retread. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight and you've thought about, man, I'm about worked to death. I'm just tired. I need to sit back. I need to kick back. I need to relax. Listen, what you need to do is re-enlist. Because it takes the flesh. The flesh will say, "I give up." The flesh will say, "Here's my key, Pastor." The flesh will say, "Here you go, Pastor. Here's my enlistment papers." But the power of God will say, "Here's my re-enlistment papers. I want to keep on going. I want to be doing this when Jesus comes." Amen. Are you living this evening? Is your faith stand in the demonstration of the power of God? Or does it stand in the excellency of speech and the wisdom of men? How can we live in the power of God? Reach souls. Resist Satan. Repudiate sin. Rejoice in sorrows, and re-enlist for service. Amen? Father, we love you tonight. I pray that you would help us to take the truths of your word and apply them to our own hearts. Father, it's so easy to get caught up in leaving you off of our daily agenda. It's so easy to go out in the power of our flesh and just go on with our day. And you'll let us. That's the scary thing about it, is that you'll let us. Father, I pray that you'd help us to know that if we're going to live, if our life, if our faith is going to stand in demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God, then I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand we must do those things that require your power. Help us to apply this to our lives tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
Amen. Let's all stand. We have a verse invitation. We ought to live a life that demonstrates the power of God, shouldn't we? And therefore, you know, reach souls. Resist the devil. Right? Repudiate sin. See if I can remember them all. And rejoice in sorrow and re-enlist. Good message tonight. As we sing, go ahead.
162. I've wandered.